Hello everyone, you are listening to Learn Japanese Pod, and today you are listening to the Fun Friday edition of the podcast where we talk to cool people doing cool things in Japan. And this episode is no exception because we are talking to the famous, the amazing Wes! Yay!
Hey, good morning, afternoon, and evening to everyone out there in Learn Japanese Pod land.
Hey, Wes, it's been a while.
It is. For the long time listeners, I have been on Fun Fridays before, but not this decade.
Yeah. It's been way, way too long. But it's great to see you again. And you appeared on one of my podcasts. I think we were ordering pizza.
That was probably the first one. That was when you still lived in Osaka.
Yeah, I think that was like 2005-ish. That's pretty crazy, right?
And I still remember I learned the word kiji on that podcast. Kiji.
Yeah. So kiji means the dough.
Crust, yeah.
The crust, yeah. Oh, that's great. So Wes, for people who don't know you, you are the author of the amazing blog Hiking in Japan, which can be found at, difficult address to remember though, hikinginjapan.com.
That's right. Don't forget the preposition.
Don't forget that.
Japanese people are like, hiking Japan? I'm like, hiking in Japan. Oh, it's like, right. It's like when you go to Gusto and you're like, cheese in hamburger.
Right? Yeah, it was like, I have apple, I have pen. Yeah, I have an apple, I have a pen, right?
Yeah, but I have that website, and I started a YouTube channel maybe 2 years ago as a New Year's resolution, and so I've been doing that along with my website.
And where can people find you on the YouTubes?
YouTube is Hiking in Japan, although with Google's SEO, you might be better Googling Hiking in Japan channel.
Oh, okay, cool.
And it should pop up.
And your blog is amazing. You're a prolific writer. How many blogs have you written? About how many mountains?
That's a good question. I started my blog back when there was no information on Japan's mountains in English. That was 2006, I believe, or 7,
right?
Perhaps. And at that time, I was climbing the Nihon Hyakumeizan, which is the 100 mountains of Japan. And as I climbed each mountain, I just decided to blog about it and write basically an online guide to climbing the 100 mountains and providing practical information, how to get to the trail, description of the trail, and other useful tips. And so when I started that, there was nothing online in English about Japan's mountains. There was a guidebook, the Lonely Planet Hiking in Japan guide.
Right.
But apart from that, there wasn't really much else online. So I started as that, and then I've just been adding hikes from 2007 and 8 until now, covering all over Japan.
I would say that hikinginjapan.com, don't forget the in, hikinginjapan.com, is the go-to hiking website. I mean, it's absolutely amazing, and you go into real detail with each mountain, each walk, each hike, right?
Yeah, I mean, I tried to write it more as like a practical guide rather than a blog. A lot of people blogging about mountains and other things in Japan talk about their personal experience, whereas I'm just giving you the bare basic practical information that you need to climb the mountain. So descriptions of the trail and access, how to get there, especially without a car. Because the majority of the mountains I climb in Japan are done without a car.
Right, right.
Relying specifically on public transport.
Right.
Be it a train or a bus or anywhere, any way I can get to the mountain, basically.
Right, right. And the great thing about Japan is they have a fantastic transportation system, not only in towns, but also in rural areas too. They're pretty well connected. So I guess, would you agree that you can get to most mountains by train, right?
Yes, except for the really, really remote mountains. in the middle of nowhere. But I would say on the most part, 90% of the mountains I write about, you can get to on public transportation. It may not be the most convenient way to get there,
right,
but there usually is a way to get there. But for my YouTube channel, I have several different series going on, but the main series is called How Did I Get Here? And so basically I start off by filming on the summit of the mountain and then I work your way back. How did I get to this summit from the bottom of my, from the bottom of the mountain, from the trailhead. And what most people don't realize about that series is I just finished episode 31. So there's going to be a total of 47 episodes. So viewers of my YouTube channel might start to realize that I'm only doing one mountain for every prefecture in Japan. So now I've covered 31 of Japan's 47 prefectures.
Oh, right, right.
And so it's basically one handpicked mountain for every prefecture that I choose. And main criteria is something that's easy to get to and also preferably a mountain that no one's ever heard of. Because I feel like in Japan, people go to, if they're in Tokyo, they climb Takao-san, or they go to Mount Fuji, or they go to the Japan Alps, or in Kansai, they go to Roko and Kongo. But I'm trying to show people that there's way more mountains out there than what people realize. So Japan has about 15,000 mountains. So it's,
can you put a figure on or an estimate on how many mountains you've climbed?
I generally don't like to climb the same mountain twice. I'm more of a one and done kind of person, I suppose, in terms of that. So I haven't really counted. I'd say probably 500 or 600 maybe. Yeah, but I'm not really sure.
You've got some more mountains to go, but that's amazing. So you're the Gohyaku Meizan.
I suppose, but you remember I'm climbing the mountains that are not famous mountains, so I wouldn't say Meizan, but.
Okay, so you probably get this asked too many times, and I hate to ask this, but I do have to. What score would you give Mount Fuji from 1 to 10, 10 being the best, 1 being meh?
Okay, could you clarify looking at Mount Fuji or climbing Mount Fuji?
Climbing Mount Fuji as an experience. Is it enjoyable? Is it worth it? As an experienced hiker, how would you rate it?
I would rate it as 3 out of 10.
Oh, that's pretty low. Yeah.
I suppose there's three. The three is maybe the experience of climbing the mountain.
Sure.
But in terms of being on the peak, surrounded by people above the tree line where it's just volcanic rock all around and no shelter from the wind or the rain.
Yeah.
That's why I would rank it at number 3. However, viewing Mount Fuji from any other mountain is a 10.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I always tell people Mount Fuji is better appreciated from afar or from an adjacent mountain.
Yeah, no, that sounds like great advice. Wow, fantastic. So, dear listener, if you have some time and you want to check out about hiking in Japan, do visit hikinginjapan.com. Now, Wes, I have an important question for you. In all your 500-ish hikes, have you ever encountered a bear in Japan?
Just one time.
Ooh.
But it doesn't really count.
Why?
Because I arrived at the trailhead.
Yeah.
And I took 2 steps onto the mountain. And the bear appeared.
Yeah.
Right in front of me.
Really?
However, I was starting my hike from a ski resort.
Right.
So the bear was literally like just walking down the Black Diamond Run going, doo, doo, doo.
Wow.
I'm walking down the bear. I'm walking down the bear, Black Diamond Slope to go drink some water from the river.
Wow.
And so I stood there and I watched the bear walk maybe 50 or 100 meters in front of me.
Yeah.
I didn't make a sound. I just stood there going, that looks like a Labrador retriever, but just a little bit bigger and a little bit longer. But that bear was scrawny.
Yeah.
It looked like it had not eaten in a while. And it looked like it was really looking forward to jumping in that little stream and getting a drink of water.
Yeah.
It was in August. It was, I think it was August 1st, actually.
Yeah.
Very hot summer day in Kansai. This was in Shiga Prefecture.
Right.
I saw the mountain. I saw that bear. The bear did not look at me, did not seem to acknowledge my existence. I didn't make any noise. I didn't want to tell the bear that I was there.
Yeah.
So I just kind of stood there. And I was kind of shocked. I was like, oh my goodness, there is a bear. So I kind of waited. Luckily I was at the ski resort and there was at the bottom of the ski lift where I was, there was a building there,
yeah.
I guess for ski lift workers or ski lift maintenance. So
right.
I stood at the building and I said, well, okay, if the bear does charge, at least I have a building
to
protect me. I mean, worst case scenario, I could have broken the window and jumped into the building and grabbed some pieces of wood or something to try to fight if push came to shove.
Yeah.
Luckily that did not happen.
Right.
So I just kind of waited there for a while. However, I realized where the bear came from was not the direction of the trail.
Oh,
so I think that bear was actually trying to tell me, hey, Wes, this is not the trail that you want to take.
Right.
These are not the droids that you're looking for.
The bear Kami were giving you divine inspiration. Do not come this way.
Yeah, absolutely. And so ever since that happened, I was like, you know, maybe that bear was there for a reason to tell me. And then I checked my map and I was like, you know what? That's right. I don't need to go up that Black Diamond slope.
Yeah.
I can walk up the other slope on the other side of the ski resort and that'll take me up to the trail.
So he was like, don't come up here. Just leave it to the professionals. Leave it to us bears.
Yeah. Now that was the only time I've seen it on a trail, if you call it, in Japan.
Right.
Now, the very first time I saw a bear was from the bus.
Oh, no way.
Going to Kamikochi.
Right. Where is, for our listeners, where is Kamikochi in Japan?
Kamikochi is in Nagano Prefecture, accessible from Matsumoto City.
Yeah.
So most people take the train to Shin-Shimashima and then they take a shuttle bus from there.
Mm.
So I took the shuttle bus from Shin-Shimashima.
Mm.
And literally maybe 5 or 6 minutes outside of Shin-Shimashima, there was a black bear in the middle of the road.
No way, really?
And I just happened to look. For some reason, I was on the bus sitting near the back.
Yeah.
And I looked in front of the bus and there was a bear, like just coming off of the slope of the riverbank.
Really?
And it just popped his head up.
Yeah.
And I saw it before the driver saw it.
Yeah.
So the only thing I could do is I literally just stood up in the middle of the bus.
Yeah.
Bus was probably, I would say, half full. It wasn't that. Yeah. It was a weekday and it was in September. And I just stood up the bus and the only word that came out of my mouth was, Kuma!
Kuma!
Kuma! Kuma! Kuma! Kuma! Kuma! Kuma!
Kuma!
And as soon as I started screaming Kuma, the bus driver looked up and said, ooh. So the bus driver saw the bear, honked its horn twice, did not slow down one bit. And the bear looked at the bus and said, okay, I'm going to retreat back into the river. And so
I wonder if that bus driver's had experience with bears before.
It's probably, I was just hoping it wasn't trying to run it over. I'm sure it wasn't. But after that happened, it was really funny because there was the Japanese people on the bus were like, woo, and looking all around, trying to see the bear. Now, 3 or 4 seats in front of me, there was a foreign guy.
Yeah.
And he turned around and he was like, what did you say? I was like, oh yeah, there was a bear in the middle of the road. So I was shouting that there was a bear.
Or he turned around and he said, actually, my name's Kumar. It's like, well, how do you know my name?
How did you know I work at Kumon?
Yeah, Juku? Kumon, right.
How did you know?
Yeah, but by the way, if you didn't know, Kuma is Japanese for bear. So the previous incident, you were out near like a ski chalet and this bear was walking down the diamond slope and it was August. And this, when you were on the bus to Kamikochi, when was that?
That was probably a couple of years before that, I would think.
What time of year was that?
That was September.
So
I guess my two bear encounters have been like August and September. Now that's on the island of Honshu.
Yep.
Because on the island of Honshu, there's the Asiatic black bear.
Right.
Or the Asian black bear.
Yeah.
Which, Alex, in Japanese, do you know?
It's the, hang on. No, what is it? What is it?
Okay, good question. Sorry, I'm not trying to show you up, Alex. I know you are.
No. Your Japanese is way better than mine. No. What is it?
I think anyone learning Japanese out there, you'll realize it's impossible to learn every single word in the Japanese language.
Sure.
So you'll find that your Japanese will improve based on your own interests.
Of course.
And so my interests are mountains.
Yeah.
So I know a lot of mountain Japanese.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Yeah.
But if you ask me to explain economic policy in Japanese, it would be like staring a deer in headlights. So my business Japanese knowledge is not as good as my mountain Japanese knowledge.
I'm happy you have hiking Japanese, because I think for entertainment's sake, I'd probably be falling asleep if you were giving an economic forecast in Japanese.
As would the readers.
Their
listeners.
So we know bear is kuma, and the black bear in Japan is the Asiatic or Asian bear. What's that in Japanese?
That's the Tsukinoa guma.
Say that again.
Tsukinoa
guma.
So tsuki is moon and wa is ring.
Yeah.
So tsukinoa, so the moon ring bear. But because it's a compound, we don't say kuma, we say guma.
Guma, yeah. It modifies you put the dakuten on the ku and it changes to gu. So it's tsukinoa guma.
That's right.
Yeah, because I had heard that they were called moon bears. And
and so the Asiatic black bears do have a white ring on their belly or their chest.
Hmm. And they're more spread out in Japan, aren't they? So I guess we can get into bear statistics, but basically Japan has, again, I think you know more about this than I do, but there's two kinds of bears. There's the brown bear and then there's the black bear.
Let's talk about the black bear first, because that's been in the news more than the brown bear. But
so the black bear is more spread out across Japan. Like, so my understanding is the brown bear is more in Hokkaido, and then
the
black bear is spread out, and it's been sighted in like most prefectures in Japan.
Well, yes and no. It's thought to be extinct on the island of Kyushu.
Right.
There's been no reported, there are no confirmed bear sightings in the last decade, I believe.
Right.
And on Shikoku, they're considered endangered.
Right.
I think the last I heard, there was about 20 black bears on the island of Shikoku.
Oh, really? Wow.
So overwhelming majority of the population is in Tohoku.
Right. Okay.
Followed by, Kanto, Joshinetsu, and Chubu, and then to a smaller extent, Kansai and Chugoku regions.
Right. And then my understanding too is that the black bears are far more dangerous and aggressive. Oh, no. The brown bears are more aggressive, right?
That is correct.
And then the black bears tend to be more timid and kind of run away when they hear or smell humans, although I'm sure they're not entirely safe though, are they?
No, well, I mean, I think this year the black bears have gotten all the notoriety because of all the bear attacks that we've heard of in the news recently. Right. There's lots of theories as to why this happens. I blame it on Labubu, actually.
It's like the bears didn't want to be outdone by everyone carrying their cute little Labubus. So Wes, I've got a question. And you can answer true or false. Bears are just cuddly little fluffy toys. They're misunderstood and they want to hug, right?
If you're referring to Kumamon, that is correct.
Right. But the real bears, yeah, no. So the black bears, they're all over Japan, mostly Honshu, right?
Yes.
And then the brown bears, I do know this, they're called Usuri.
Yeah, they are called Utsuri. However, more common terminology would be Higuma.
Oh, Higuma.
Which is another guma.
Guma. What's the kanji for he?
fire. No, actually, I don't know. Sorry.
Let's.
When in doubt, if you don't know the kanji for something,
Google.
Well, no, yeah, but you also just use what your brain is familiar with. So that's the first word that came up out of my brain.
Higuma. Yeah. Oh, it looks like it's in katakana.
Yeah, there might be a kanji. It's interesting in Japan, a lot of animal names are written in katakana.
So I heard that the brown bears are far more aggressive and dangerous.
Yes, they are. And they're bigger as well.
I read up online that it said the Japanese brown bears, the Higuma, are bigger than American grizzlies. And that just didn't sound right to me. So I did a bit of searching, and apparently Japanese brown bears are bigger than North American grizzlies in the main continent. But apparently Alaskan brown bears are much, much bigger. So I think they're called the Alaskan Kodiak bears.
Oh, yes.
Just don't go near them. They will mess you up.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of your listeners may be familiar with Hoshino.
Michio Hoshino.
Yes, yes, yes. Michio Hoshino is a famous Japanese photographer, nature photographer. And he was killed by a brown bear up in Russia in 1996.
Yikes.
If you look at a map of Russia, there's a little tiny peninsula that juts down, and that's called Kamchatka. I believe that's the name of the... And he was mauled on that peninsula by the Kamchatka brown bear.
Kamchatka brown bear.
I don't know if that T is pronounced or not. Kamchatka, I would say. I guess the Kamchatka brown bear is a relative of the Higuma or the Usuri brown bear on Hokkaido because they're really close to each other. So I think he was probably the first famous bear victim abroad, at least for a Japanese.
Wait, what was that? What was that story in, like, was it Taisho period where there was this bear that killed like 10 people? They made a movie out of it. And it was this.
There was, yeah. So I guess brown bears or Higuma have had more of a reputation over the years.
Right.
For being bloodthirsty.
Yeah.
This summer, there was a very famous incident in Shiretoko on the trail to Raosu Dake.
Yeah.
And I'm not exactly sure, I didn't read all of the details. A lot of times when you see these incident reports or these stories written in Japanese about accidents in Japan's mountains, they are lacking a lot of details, which is a shame because we have no idea. I heard that, so there were two people descending, I believe they were descending the mountain, and one got attacked and dragged off of the trail.
I
believe it was a mother bear. I think the cub was nearby. And then they went back and they found the body, and I guess the bear had eaten that victim. But I heard that they were trail running, which is probably the worst thing that you can do in Japan in terms of being attacked by a bear.
There was a guy from New Zealand who was trail running, and he got attacked by a bear, and the bear bit his arm, immediately breaking it. He managed to somehow escape, and then he ended up in hospital. He survived, but
now that story did not make the Japanese news. Do you know why?
Why?
Well, it wasn't a mountain accident. Because he got off the trail and called the ambulance. So he didn't require mountain rescue. And I think that's why the Japanese media didn't really pick up on that story.
Right. Because the whole point about the recent bear attacks in Japan is that they used to happen in very remote areas, but now they're, you know, increasingly happening in more urban areas and human settlements. By the way, I've got some stats for you here. Are you ready? Okay.
I
couldn't believe these. My head exploded. So, okay, apparently in the US, there were 11 reported bear attacks, right? And they've got hundreds of thousands of bears there, right? And I was looking and it said, you know, data's hard to come by because a lot of incidents aren't reported and it's hard to collate the data. But there's, call it 11, take that with a pinch of salt, right? In Europe, there were 18 bear attacks. In Eurasia, which is like Iran and Russia, there were 19 bear attacks. Okay, buckle up, Wes. In Japan, over 200 attacks. Checks notes, mauled, bitten, and dragged by bears. It's like, that's insane. And then 13 people were killed in the last year. And yeah, over 200 injured, which is insane. So like the single highest number of bear attacks is in Japan. And that's more than all bear attacks globally combined. So
I don't know what's in the water.
Something in the water. And I was looking into some of the bear attacks. And basically, so this guy from New Zealand, he wasn't in the middle of nowhere, right? I mean, I guess he was in a somewhat rural area, but he was close enough to the town to get an ambulance to come and pick him up, right? So what they're saying is bears have been increasingly being spotted in schools, supermarkets, railway stations. I mean, that's kind of scary. And apparently, like, a bear wandered onto the runway in Yamagata Airport and they had to ground all the planes.
Yeah, I think that was Yamagata or Miyagi, somewhere up
there. Yeah, I think it was Yamagata up there.
Maybe, yeah. Wow. This is, I just want to say, this is like...
It's all relative, right?
Well, I would say this year is kind of the exception to the norm. This has never really happened in Japan before.
Right.
And so that's why I think it has garnered a lot of attention.
Right, sure.
But also, I think because of all these attacks, people are kind of scared now.
The way it's presented in the media, you would think that it's on the increase.
Well, you would think, yeah, that everywhere in Japan, you're in danger of getting attacked or mauled by a bear,
that's not the case. But it's fine. Japan's safe. You're not going to get attacked by a bear. However, compared to before, the bear attacks have been increasing.
Well, I think there's always been this cultural idea that bear equals dangerous animal
sure.
for humans. And sure. so while there have been a lot of attacks recently, those attacks are not occurring in the mountains. They're occurring in the Satoyama or on the foothills of the mountains because the bears are coming down into the human habitat.
Yeah.
And so basically what happens is every time a bear comes into the village and it attacks someone or is being seen, there's this mentality of let's hunt it and kill it.
Right.
And so there's been some issues recently with culling bears.
Yeah.
I guess the issue that I kind of see is they don't really know exactly how many black bears there are.
They have
estimates. Now there's been estimates that said there's been about anywhere between 40,000 and 50,000 black bears on the island of Honshu. But I'm wondering how they can't exactly count the specific number of bears, right?
I'm guessing these are estimates. So they say it's around 17,000 black bears in Hokkaido. It's a 40 something thousand in Honshu. For black bears, right? So it's roughly 50 to 60,000 ish bears in Japan.
Yeah. So obviously they're saying this year it was a really hot summer as it's been the last few years. The number of, you know, acorns and beech nuts and other food has been scarce.
Yeah.
And so they're thinking that, and also they're thinking that there's been a big explosion of the bear population. That's why a lot of bears are coming down into the valley. What people may not realize is I think the recent plight of the black bear has some possible similarities to the plight of the Japanese wolf.
Oh, interesting.
And so what happened with the Japanese wolf during the Meiji era and the Taisho era I guess what happened with the Japanese wolf in the Meiji era is a lot of wolves were coming down out of the mountains into the villages.
Right.
And every time the wolf came into the village, they were killed.
Yeah.
And so they kept killing the wolves and killing wolves and killing wolves. And all of a sudden the wolves no longer showed up in the villages and they found out that they were extinct. So actually the very last reported, the confirmed reported sighting of a Japanese wolf was 1909. No, actually, sorry, the last reported Japanese wolf was 1905, and that was in Nara Prefecture in Higashi Yoshino Village.
And are they just wild wolves are completely extinct?
They're
in Japan
completely
now?
Extinct. Yeah. So I understand the need to maybe cull the animals, but my fear is, what if this year is the start of a new trend, and the bears are actually on their last fight for survival? And so as more and more bears exit the mountains and come into the villages, if all these bears are culled, then there might be a time in the future where bears are no longer coming into the village because we find out that they're extinct, right? I mean, you never know if that's going to happen, but, you know, and I don't think it's going to happen something like now, but what if this culling issue continues for 20 or 30 years?
I think there's two sides to the debate in terms of what to do. One is let's cull them and use, you know, AI surveillance systems to track the bears. And then on the other side, I think it's kind of the point you're making is like, well, you can cull them, but if you cull too many, that's over. There's a danger they could become extinct. And so the other side is what they want to do is create like buffer zones between human settlements and the areas where they breed. It's really interesting. So I was reading like a bunch of blogs on why they think these attacks are happening, and like you said, they're coming into human settlements more and more. And what was like really interesting was I found some stuff I hadn't thought about, and apparently some people think that they had had some wildlife conservation policies, and that had actually helped to increase the number of bears. And the really interesting one was there was an so-called, so you know, Fukushima has an exclusion zone. So when that nuclear power station exploded, they created this exclusion zone, and that actually became an accidental wildlife preserve. And so you had this explosion, not just bears, but just an explosion in wildlife because there weren't any humans to scare the animals away or whatever.
Or to run them over with their car.
Or run them over with their cars and all that kind of stuff. Obviously, there's climate change you were talking about. So food is becoming more scarce. There are less berries, less nuts, less acorns. And so they're forced to, you know, forage for food nearer human settlements, right?
So I think also with the depopulation of the rural areas, whereas in the smaller villages aligning the mountains, there used to be a lot more people living there. Now there's a lot more empty houses.
Yeah.
And so I think in previous years, maybe, you know, a few decades ago, if a bear came into the village, they would be scared off by the humans there. But now the bear's coming down and there's no humans there. And they're like, oh, here's a bunch of persimmons that are unpicked, and there's a bunch of chestnuts that are unpicked. Let me just feast on these things. And then they see the humans. And then I think the bears are not really attacking because they're like, I want to attack humans. They're attacking because they're freaked out. They don't know what to do. And they see these people and because if you see a lot of the footage online, the bears are ambushing these people just out of nowhere.
Yeah, and, right.
And I think it's more of a reflex.
Yeah. There was a really scary story of this old guy who was working at an onsen, like a hot bath, and he was outside the back of the building clearing leaves or something, and the bear just came up and swiped him, and that was the end of him. And he was just kind of minding his own business, but because these bears were encroaching on human settlements, you know, these encounters are like bound to happen.
Yeah,
I didn't think about this before, but it kind of makes sense that the other climate change issue is because the winters are getting shorter and the summers are getting longer and hotter, the bears' hibernation patterns are changing, so they're actually awake and wandering around for a longer time during the year.
Yeah, I heard that they only really hibernate in the really cold and areas with a lot of snow, like Tohoku.
Oh, okay.
Because, for example, I've been hiking in, it was November. I was hiking in the mountains of like Okuchichibu.
Yeah.
And I was following frozen bear tracks in the snow.
Oh, really? Really?
Like on the ridge. Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. Right. So maybe they're hibernating a lot later. Maybe it's more like December, January only.
Yeah.
It depends on the region, of course. But I've hiked in the winter and I've seen bear tracks here in Kansai. So.
Oh, there you go. They don't necessarily all hibernate then. That's interesting. Yeah.
In terms of encountering bears when you hike, like I said, I've only encountered one despite climbing 500 mountains. So if you run into a bear, consider yourself very unlucky, unless you really, really want to see a bear.
Yeah.
Even this summer, I was hiking in Fukushima Prefecture, in a really remote area of the Azuma Mountains. Definitely in bear country. I had bear spray with me as a precaution, but didn't see any bear at all.
Right, right.
So I think there's this image of, oh, if you go into the mountains, you're going to see bears and they're going to attack you. And I think that's just not entirely true.
There's definitely an element of hype because this is, you know, it's not sensational, but it's a striking piece of news. It's very emotional, right? And so everyone reports on the reports. And so it feels like there's nothing but bear. It's tsunamis, earthquakes, and bear attacks.
Exactly. Exactly.
But it's, yeah. I would say there's definitely a trend upwards compared to last year. Like the last 2 years or last year has seen the biggest number of bear attacks ever. But, like you said, if you meet a bear, you're incredibly unlucky, I would have thought.
Yeah, definitely. And the Japanese government is trying they have some countermeasures that they're trying to do as well, bringing in the self-defense force and the, you know, doing more culling and, you know, bear drills and training programs, which I think are necessary. And the AI, as you mentioned as well.
The point you made before that with the wolf in Japan, that they overdid it with the culling. And they just wipe them out. And I'd never thought of that, but it's definitely possible that humans can go from one extreme to the other.
Yeah, let's hope.
Let's hope they don't do that. I like the idea of new AI surveillance systems and drones that track bears. That sounds kind of cool because if you can tag enough bears near human settlements, I guess you could have like an early warning system. Right.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's less destructive to definitely the bear population and nature if you're not culling absolutely all of them.
Yeah. I know that speaking of bear encounters and bear activity, I believe it was either last year or the year before there was a bear roaming around Kamikochi.
Oh, really?
And they had to close the campsite there.
Really?
That's Konashidaira because the bear was coming in and trying to get into the trash cans. And then it was, and I think it actually did attack someone who received minor injuries. But that happens.
Wait, Wes, I've just had an idea for our next IT startup. We'll make AI surveillance drones with bear spray and you carry them in your backpack, right? And then when you see a bear, you press a button on your phone and it shoots out from your backpack, it goes towards the bear and it sprays it with bear spray. And it plays heavy metal music as well to scare it. And so it's a non-lethal safety precaution you can take. Wes, let's get funding for our new startup. Bears are us. I don't know what we call the company. But it's insane. It's like, again, just looking at those figures, that there were like 200 attacks in Japan. I mean, 200 attacks in a population of 150. Well, actually, no, what was the population of Japan? 120 million? What is it?
Yeah, something like that.
200 attacks in a population of 200 million is like, yeah, I mean, that's not too scary. But it's more than before.
Yeah. And like I said, the majority of attacks have been in Tohoku.
Tohoku, right.
And a few in Nagano, Niigata kind of area. But
I did hear there were some bear sightings in Ome and like near Takao-san.
I heard there was a bear sighting in Arashiyama.
Really? In Kyoto?
Yeah. And
wow.
While that might be true, could have been a tourist in a bear suit.
It could have been a tourist, no, right? Yeah.
I mean, it could have been. But no, there are bears in Kyoto. So if you hike in the mountains of northern Kyoto, you will see beware of bear signs and so forth. But
honestly speaking, don't you find wild boars are more scary?
Well, those are nocturnal, so you don't really see them.
Oh, okay.
Unless you hike at night. However, in the Roko Mountains, just behind Kobe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They've kind of become active in the daytime because they know they can get free handouts.
Yeah, I saw an inoshishi in, I think it was Roko. I was actually hiking there and I saw it and it like walked in front of me and I was absolutely terrified because I know they'll charge, right?
Yeah, they will.
Oh. And they're not tall, but they're solid and I'm sure they could really mess you up. So.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean,
yeah.
But I think, there are dangers when you can go to the mountains, but I would say being attacked by a bear is pretty low on that list.
Right.
So for people hiking, the most common cause of accidents is getting lost.
Yep.
That's the number one, without a doubt. And then after that, health issues are a big one. Falling down, injuring yourself. But I would say you're more likely to get stung by a hornet than you are to get attacked by a bear.
Yeah, right.
However, I think our listeners probably want to realize what we should do if we encounter a bear.
Exactly. So,
and you're probably asking the wrong person because I've only had one bear encounter.
Do carry bear spray.
I will say bear spray is probably not going to protect you from a bear attack unless the bear gives you some kind of warning before it attacks. If you get ambushed, bear spray it will not help you. However, I do carry it when I hike in Tohoku.
Yeah.
I carry bear spray specifically for peace of mind.
Yeah. When you say it doesn't work if it pounces on you from behind, is that because then it's just too late, right? Or,
well, I mean, if the bear attacks without warning, there's not really much you can do. Unless you're hiking with the spray in your hand, ready to spray it, because it takes time. If you have the bear spray attached to the side of your body, like on your hip, you've got to take it out and then spray it.
Right.
So, but if you see a bear in front of you, the bear stops and looks at you, then you have time to grab it and protect yourself, apparently. But if you have the bear spray, at least you're like, well, at least I've got something in case something happens, rather than having nothing, just your bare hands.
Pun intended.
Sorry, that's B-A-R-E, sorry. I'm not walking around with B-E-A-R hands.
With bare hands, yeah. By the way, this reminds me, I was talking to my good friend Yolanda from New Zealand, and she said, the other day, I was hiking in the woods, and I saw these bees. I'm like, really? He said, yeah, I saw all these bees. Like, that must have been terrifying. He said, no, I just took them home and then drank them. Oh, bears.
I thought you were saying bees.
Yeah, bees. Yeah, no. But and I said to her, okay, say beer. And she said, beer. And then, okay, say bear. And she said, beer. I'd like to personally apologize to the people of New Zealand. I've let myself down.
For that horrific accent, yeah.
I've let myself down, and quite frankly, it was a terrible attempt at humor. I'm very sorry.
Now, in addition to carrying bear spray, a lot of people carry bear bells.
What do you think of them?
I don't use them personally.
Interesting. Why?
Because if you use a bear bell, you're going to scare away all the other animals that you might see.
Oh, interesting. Oh, okay. So if you're into like photography and stuff and you want to
So if you don't, if you ring that bell, you're going to scare away other animals.
Mm,
mm. And also you might drive yourself insane.
With a constant ringing,
it was
right?
The constant ringing. There are a lot of Japanese people that wear bear bells, even in my local mountains in Osaka, which don't have any bears. So other people carry radios, and that's even more annoying. But I think in Japan, there seems to be this theory, like most people hike in groups in Japan because it's a very group mentality kind of country and society. However, people do hike by themselves, a lot of elderly people.
Right.
And I think my theory with the people, the elderly people carrying the radios, is so they don't feel so lonely.
Yeah.
Because you'll hear a lot of people, like when I'm hiking by myself, I'll come across groups and they're like, you know, hitori wa samishi da ne, or kawaii da ne. And I'm like, well, in my country, I think in Western culture, we go to the mountains to get away from people, to experience the solitude, to experience the nature, to experience the quietness. But I think in Japanese culture, generally speaking, most people go to the mountains to be with people. It's more of a social experience.
Okay, massive generalization time, and sociologists and anthropologists can disagree with me and write horrible comments. In kind of Western societies, silence is peaceful. And in some Asian societies, silence is sad and lonely, and noise is joyful because you're in a group. This is a massive generalization, but I guess Japan is kind of similar, right?
Yeah.
Would you say then hiking in groups is maybe safer?
Yeah, I think so. I would limit your group size to maybe four or less because the bigger the group you have, the harder it is to hike together anyway, because everyone has different paces and different speeds. So if you hike in a group and you encounter a bear, remember that you only have to be faster than the slowest member of your group. So if you see a bear, I always bring trekking poles when I hike with me. So if you do encounter a bear, the group that you're hiking with, the person that you like the least, I would take your...
Push them towards the bear.
No. You don't have to do that. I would just grab your trekking poles and hit their shins. And then take off running.
This podcast got dark really quickly.
Don't do that. I'm joking, obviously.
Obviously, yeah.
But I mean, if you do hike in a group and you see a bear, at least there's two or three of you to potentially scare off the bear. And if the bear does charge someone, at least the other, hopefully if you have good friends, they can help fight off the bear.
They say if you see a bear, you should stay calm, because if you immediately run, its instinct to hunt will kick in and it will chase you and kill you with its face, basically.
I mean, that's the idea. Is I've heard differing stories. I've heard that if you see a bear, just stay calm. If it charges you, I've heard to crouch on the ground and cover your head and face.
Hopefully you would never have to do this, but apparently it's really interesting. They did a study where they found that people who crouched on the ground with their head downwards with their hands protecting their neck tended to survive. That's some investigation there.
Easier said than done. If you do that,
easier said than done.
The good news is if you're hiking and you have a backpack on, or a rucksack, however you want to call it, you can keep that on your back. If you're crouched down, that's going to protect your back. And then crouching down is going to protect your internal organs. So if you can tuck your head and, you know, you're like bracing for impact on the airplane, right? Then that's less that the bear has to actually, you know, damage you with. Yeah. Now I've heard other stories that say if a bear charges you, you should try to fight them. So there's that famous video that's gone viral that he's an MMA fighter and he fought off the bear. So he was hiking in, I believe it was Saitama or Aguma, and he was coming down this really steep rocky slope, and he got, somehow he got between the mother bear and the bear's cubs. So the cubs were at the bottom of this really steep slope and the bear was behind him. So the bear came and charged him from behind.
Yeah,
and he was able to duck out of the way, and the bear
kind
of fell off this small cliff. And then the bear started running up to charge and attack this hiker. And the guy has a GoPro on, right? And the hiker, I guess, had MMM training or does, you know, boxing or something. And that hiker just starts pouncing on the bear. The bear's coming up, and the hiker's just hitting the bear in the face repeatedly.
Really?
Wow. And then the bear backs off and then charges again, and the hiker's kind of kicking the bear. It's unbelievable footage. You would think that it's totally AI footage, but it's not. Right? So if you're going to fight the bear, if there's any way that you can gain the higher ground, so to speak, you'll be much more advantageous, because you know it's easier to attack someone from above than it is to attack.
So essentially you're saying be Obi-Wan Kenobi, take the higher ground.
Basically. I mean, bears bears can climb trees, and they often do climb trees.
Have you seen the video of the guy, I guess he's hiking and he sees a bear, he climbs up a tree, and then you see the bear sniffing at the bottom of the tree, and then it just suddenly runs up the tree. And I think he either frightens it away or it loses interest. But it's like, that's terrifying.
Yeah. Well, I think one thing that people maybe don't realize about, especially the black bears, they do spend a lot of time in the trees.
Oh, interesting.
So even though I've only seen one bear in all of my hikes, I'm pretty sure I probably walked directly under a bear and never really realized it.
Really? Wow.
Especially if when they're feeding, they climb up into the trees, like the beech trees, and they eat the beech nuts up on the trees. And
interesting.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So,
wow.
Yeah. I mean, so if you see a bear, fight or flight, but instead of flighting or running away, stand your ground and crouch down. That's the flight, I guess. But, yeah. And don't make eye contact.
Right. These are kind of like dealing with a wild animal, like back off slowly, don't make any sudden movements, don't make eye contact.
All of these things are just like, they make sense, but if you're in that real situation, just survival mode will kick in.
Yeah.
You'll either be so scared that you won't be able to do anything.
Yeah.
Or you'll just be full of adrenaline and be able to, you know, have almost superhuman powers. I mean, but I mean, I carry trekking poles because I can use them as a makeshift weapon. If the bear did charge me, I can try to bump it on the head with my trekking poles. The snout and the eyes are the most sensitive parts of the bear's body.
And also whacking your friend's shins as well, right?
exactly. But the bear claws are the ones that do most of the damage. So the bear swipes at you, it's just getting swiped by like razor blades. So that's the thing that usually causes most of the damage. But
razor blades the size of your head. I mean, they're huge, aren't they?
Yeah. Also, they say that bears are more diurnal, more active like dawn or dusk. But I think you can see them any time of day. But yeah, the last hike I did, I was in I think bear territory, and I did have my spray with me and my trekking poles, but I ended up not seeing a bear.
Right.
However, I mean, I think one thing to talk about too is the bear habitat. So bears prefer deciduous hardwood forests of oak and beech, whereas most of Honshu has been planted with monocultural cedar plantations. Bears don't like cedar. Bears don't like cedar forests because there's no food for them there. Whereas most of Tohoku still has its virgin beech forest remaining. That's why there's so many bears up in Tohoku area.
So I'm guessing those kind of monoculture tree plantations, there's no biodiversity there. It's just kind of dark and dead, isn't it?
Yeah. However, if you go to the island of Hokkaido, there's no cedar plantations except in the very southern part near Hakodate.
Okay.
But most of the forest is still natural in Hokkaido.
Right.
So even if you're hiking in Sapporo, you're like, oh my gosh, this is bear territory. It looks like a bear is going to jump out at any moment in Hokkaido. So I do feel the most kind of fear if I'm hiking by myself in Hokkaido.
In Hokkaido, right?
Yeah. So that's just something to consider as well when you hike. But
so Wes, this is really interesting. It's I learned a lot today, but I would be remiss to not teach some bear vocabulary to our dear listeners. So Wes, can you teach us some basic bear vocabulary?
I can teach you the bear essentials.
Oh,
of bear vocabulary.
Oh, Japan. Stop it.
Well, the first word is kuma. It's good to know the kanji.
Mm.
Because when you're hiking, you will see beware of bear signs. So it'll say kuma chui. Which chui is like beware of bears.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, actually, that's a really good point. That is a kanji you should know, because sometimes when they have warning signs, sometimes it's only kanji, right?
Yes. I mean, there'll be an illustration of some ferocious looking bear.
Right.
But yeah, usually you'll see kuma chui or... And then if a bear has been sighted on the mountains recently, they might put a new bear sign that says like kuma shutsupotsu, which is encounter. I guess shutsupotsu is like appearing relatively frequently or having the habitat. So the kanji is like shupatsu's patsu, I guess.
Yeah, it's because it kind of means like a sighting or appearance.
Yeah. Now, if you read the Japanese news about bears, you'll also see the kanji sōgu.
Sōgu.
Which is encounter.
Right.
So bear encounter would be kuma sōgu suru.
Right.
So you would see like, you know, kuma ni sōga suru is a bear has been encountered. Sometimes you'll see totsuzen sōgu, which is sudden bear encounter.
Sudden bear encounter, totsuzen sōgu. Okay, that's a good one.
Yes, yeah, and it's sōgu, so long vowel sounds. And if someone's attacked, you can call them higaisha or victim.
Mm.
But the word attack is osou, which has a really kind of hard kanji.
Yeah, it's kind of looks like dragon with an extra bit at the bottom.
Yeah. Now, if you said like the bear attacked the human, you would say kumaga hito osou. However, we usually talk about it in passive voice. So, you know, hito ni osowareta. He was attacked, you know, by the bear. So it's more of the passive voice in terms of the action.
So you'd say like kuma ni osowareta, right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. That's great. Well, Wes-san.
Yes.
Arigato gozaimasu. That was awesome.
Oh, no problem.
Actually, it was. I learned a lot, and I hope our dear listeners learned some too. Although this has really been in the media a lot. It's not like there are bears everywhere and you can't go hiking anywhere. That's not true.
Exactly. Yeah. You just have to be prepared. This slight possibility that you might run into a bear. And also remember, when bears hibernate in this winter, you don't have to worry about it. And the story will probably be forgotten until the spring.
Yeah. Right.
So yeah. I mean, I think whenever you hike in Japan's mountains, you need to be smart and kind and, you know, try to stay as safe as you can. So whatever precautions that you want to do, if you want to hike with a bear bell, that's completely fine. If you want to invest in bear spray, I think that's completely fine. If you want to go hiking by yourself, just keep that in mind that it's probably better to do it in a group. However, I do a lot of hiking by myself, just filming for my YouTube channel. But I do have enough experience to know where bear habitats are and what to look for. And yeah, just, you know, play it safe. And, you know, and if you do see a bear, make sure you film it. then you can be famous. Now, I will say, just to close out, I did see that bear in Shiga Prefecture, right at the trailhead.
Yeah.
However, when I was taking the train out from Osaka to Shiga Prefecture, on the train, I happened to look, I was like, oh no, I think I forgot to put my memory card in my camera.
Oh no.
Right. And I was like, do I have my battery? And I checked my battery. I was like, oh, my battery's in there. And I was like, wait a minute. I don't think I put my memory card in my camera. And I looked, and sure enough, I had not. Now, this is the days before the USB-C cable. So you had to, you know, to transfer photos from your camera, you actually had to take out the memory card and put it into your computer. So it was those days. So I forgot to put the memory card. So on the train ride, I literally said, well, this is the day that I'll run into a bear. Because I have no way of taking a picture of it, right? No way of filming it, right? I didn't even have an iPhone at this time.
They know. So they know if you have a camera.
And I knew it. On the train, I was like, I guarantee you I see a bear. So my first thought when I took like two or three steps into my hike and a bear appeared right in front of me, I was just like, yeah, buddy. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. That's why I just watched the bear and I didn't take a photo of it, because I didn't have any way of taking a photo.
Well, now the, you know, phone, you know, mobile phones are so ubiquitous. I guess there's a lot more footage of bears, like photos and videos, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I just thought it was very fitting that, you know, because if you're hiking, and this is my theory about animal encounters in general, if you just hike thinking that you're going to run into an animal, you'll never see an animal, but the minute it leaves your mind, you will see one. So
you're not paying attention.
All right. Well, Alex, it was a pleasure talking to you.
It was a pleasure talking to you too, Wes. Thank you so much. We should do another podcast soon.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to.
And we already talked about this, but let's remind our listeners that you can be found at hikinginjapan.com.
Yes.
Or your YouTube channel is Hiking in Japan, right?
Well, go to hikinginjapan.com. There's a link right at the top for my YouTube and my Instagram and whatever else I use. That's all I use now. But yeah, so that's probably the easiest way.
So Wes, again, thank you so much. That was awesome. And I shall see you soon. Arigatou gozaimashita.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you. And good luck with the rest of the podcasts this year.
Domo, domo.
And the Fun Fridays. And hopefully the listeners out there will have learned something useful from this podcast.
I hope so. I think they will. And yeah, lots of really interesting bear information. So Wes, thanks again. I will speak to you soon. Matane.
Hey, matane. Arigatou.